Every Wednesday, Bruce Pratt talks books, sometimes authors, and we'll do some authors over the course of the next couple of weeks. But today, Bruce, a show that you've been raving about off the air for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, this is a really interesting book because not only is the intersection, as you mentioned, of history and baseball important, but wow, the similarities to what's going on in the world today are pretty amazing. It's called The Pitcher and the Dictator, Satchel Paige's Unlikely Season in the Dominican Republic by Averill A. Smith. Now, Smith is a political operative. He's run a lot of important national campaigns. He understands history, and I only bring that up because if people might remember that in 1916, if you took Mr. Kimball's class, you might know this, the United States of America decided to occupy the Dominican Republic, not because of anything other than the fact that they owed us a lot of money and they were afraid that they wouldn't pay it. We didn't continue to occupy countries in Europe who owed us great sums of money, but at the behest of a lot of American corporations, at different times the United States invaded Mexico, invaded other parts of Central America, and both Haiti and the Dominican Republic. The only reason that's important is that by 1931, a former gang member by the name of Rafael Trujillo had managed to become the head of the army, the police, and the president of the country, and would rule in one way or another until he was assassinated in 1961. At this time, we also must remember that Major League Baseball was basically all white. There had been and there were some Latino players, but there were not many. And the case could be made that in 1937, the greatest talent ever assembled on one baseball team was playing in the capital of the Dominican Republic. This may seem crazy, but when one remembers how ingrained baseball is in the Caribbean, not just in Cuba and not just in the Dominican Republic, but in Puerto Rico and in Mexico, in other parts of Central America, Denny Martinez being an example, where he was from El Salvador, I think.
Yes, El Presidente.
El Presidente. And when we think about, you know, some of the great baseball players of race, I mean, look at if you ask the best Red Sox pitcher, best Red Sox hitter of the last 20 years, you're going to come up with a Cuban and a Dominican.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, what happened was Trujillo really loved baseball and he wanted to have the best team. So he tried that and it didn't work as well as he wanted. So then it occurred to him that in the Negro leagues in America were a lot of great talent that he could make work for him. And so guys that were making $125 a week were suddenly being given $30,000 to come play for the season. And Trujillo managed, and I'm abbreviating some of this, managed to get this team together that included Satchel Paige, people like Cool Papa Bell, Josh Gibson. I mean, the list goes on and on, along with six ballplayers who these ballplayers felt, and we certainly can take their word for what was good. Buck O'Neill saw this team play. Six players from the Caribbean that were probably as good as any players who ever played. And so it may be that while baseball was preserving its 1930s and 1940s white elitism, the best baseball in the world was being played in the Dominican Republic. Now, you'd think that the guys would then love it. They were making a lot of money. They want to stay. Well, things change. When Satchel and his friends first get there, they are staying at a hotel. They play two, maybe three games a week. No one charges them for alcohol. There are brothels nearby, which will cater to their whims. Then there's no problem with that. But when they're not winning, Trujillo decides to take the guy who heads up his death squads and have him take over the management of the team. And he decided things would be run a little bit differently and that these guys would not be allowed to have all the free reign they had and all the things they did. And now they're walking, these are African-American men walking around a country where they can live anywhere they want, they can go anywhere they want, they can eat in any restaurant they want, they can do whatever they want because the color of your skin does not dictate where you are in society. So they really like that. Now, we must remember that Rafael Trujillo turned out to be one of the most vicious dictators Latin America ever saw. And we're talking about, you know, you've got Papa Doc Duvalier in Haiti. You've got Antonio Somoza in Nicaragua. You've got some really bad guys. And, you know, Trujillo had 20,000 Haitians hacked to death because he was angry. I mean, this was a very evil guy. But what is so strange in all of this is that this love he had for baseball was only political. If his baseball team was the best and everybody went to see his baseball team, they could be part of his annual or his biennial. I think he ran for president every 2 years, maybe every 4 years, reelection campaign. So all the advertising and all the billboards and all the cheers didn't have to do with the team, but with the reelection of the president. Now, Trujillo appealed to the people because he was trying to drive out the U.S. Same as all the dictators down there. They became, you know, Castro getting rid of the U.S. influence and in getting rid of Batista. That this was this wellspring of quote populism. What's interesting now is that if you look at around the world, we have all these other places where the influence, and not just of the U.S., but influence of European countries has led to a kind of society that is also susceptible to this kind of stuff. And so the book does a great job keeping it all in historical perspective. It doesn't give you a day by day, but it gives you a very episodic account of what happens. And you learn even more about Satchel Paige's willingness to jump ship on anybody, no matter what they had done for him.
Well, I was going to ask about that because Paige was notoriously independent. I can't see him being willing to be used as a political pawn.
No, but he was just making so much more money that it boggled his mind. And so and it's really interesting. He quit the owner of the Pittsburgh team 3 times, once to go to North Dakota. He left the Dominican team briefly to go to Mexico. He would jump wherever he could make some money. I mean, if he could, because he really wanted to make money, because what he understood intuitively was that a very skilled African-American athlete who was also apparently a great singer, a very good guitar player, had a lot of other skills. You know, if he had money, he would have respect. If he didn't, and not respect everywhere, I mean, it wouldn't make any difference to some cracker sheriff in Georgia, but that it would give him a level of comfort and success and the ability to live in a northern city away from the kind of discrimination he knew growing up in Mobile, Alabama. Think about this. I think Tommy Agee, Willie Mays, Satchel Paige, I think who else is from Mobile, Alabama? Maybe Don Clendenin? I'm not sure.
Could be.
There are a number of great players that came out of there. A kid that went to reform school, a kid that had, you know, all kinds of things go wrong in his life growing up. He didn't have a lot of the breaks. And I finally, you know, heard, I think it's the most definitive reason as to why he was called Satchel. I used to make a dime a bag for carrying bags from a train station to a hotel, but he decided, and they were called a satchel. He got a dime a satchel. He invented a pole that he could put over each arm so he could carry as many as 10 bags at a time, and he could make $2 per trip, and that's when I started calling him Satchel.
Wow.
Because he had that many satchels. I'd heard other stories about it, but the thing about Averill A. Smith is that I really trust his research. You know, he's been written about in the Los Angeles Times, the New Republic, the San Francisco Chronicle. His association with politics and what it takes to win and lose political battles prior to the era of a certain news organization, I think has led him to really try and separate the myth from reality throughout this. It's a really good book. And it's, though it's well-researched and it's got a lot of endnotes, it's only about 190 some pages long, and it's a very quick read. It's maybe it's only about 185 pages of text. Very, very well written, very easily, very accessible to read. And he'll be with us the first Wednesday in May.
Very good. Averill A. Smith, the book is called The Pitcher and the Dictator.